Ordo Templi Orientis is a secret society group that Aleister Crowley founded, or was a large part of. He founded the. He was also a part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. The OTO is above Freemasonry. They deny that. They say that it's not regular Freemasonry, but it is. And it has a strong Jewish link to it. It's all based upon the Kabbalah, the same as Freemasonry is. And I'm going to read some quotes from a book entitled Blood on the Altar, which shows the Jewish links to it. The Judaic Connection to the OTO by Craig Heinbichler. For the good of Masonry generally, but the Jewish nation in particular. That's a quote from the Royal Arch Degree of Freemasonry. The wealthy Austrian industrialist Karl Kellner decided around 1895 to pass on his own initiation into tantric yoga to an inner circle of followers. Kellner's accomplice, Theodor Rus, a fanatical Anglo-German Freemason, bought Masonic charters in every high degree he could lay his hands on. By 1902, Royce had imported Scottish Rite and Memphis and Mizraim Freemasonry to Germany. Kellner occupied himself with yoga and Memphis and Mizraim Masonry. Royce and Kellner conceived a new outer order through which they could select Masons for training in Kellner's trumpeted concoction of Tantra. At the same time, Royce had revived the old order of the Illuminati, said to have started in Bavaria by Adam Weishaupt in 1776 and later grafted onto Grand Orient Freemasonry. Royce also worked with the Societas Rosicruciana in Anglia, from which came the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and Martinism, French Illuminist Masonry. Royce was also linked in its early years to Blavatsky's Theosophical Society through Franz Hartmann. But it would be a mistake to see the OTO as an essentially German occult phenomenon grafted onto a bloody tantric sex magic. The pivotal source for Royce was the sex magical Hermetic Brotherhood of Light, also known as Luxor, a secret society which included Madame Blavatsky and Pappus, the advisor to Tsar Nicholas of Russia. As Jocelyn Godwin and his co-researchers observe, the teachings of the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light, the HB of L, fed the streams of sexual practice flowing in the Ordo Templi Orientis of Theodor Rus, and eventually into the works of Aleister Crowley. Once the secret was out, linking occultism with sex, it was impossible to ignore, and in consequence, practically every occult order after the 1880s had some debt to the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light. But whose secret was it? Max Theon, or Supreme God, was Grand Master of the Egyptian Hermetic Brotherhood of Light in the 1870s. Theon lived in a vast villa named Zarif near Tlemcen in Algeria. A frequent visitor to England and France, Theon's true name was Louis Maximilian Bimstein. Bimstein was the son of Rabbi Judes Leon Bimstein of Warsaw, Poland. Godwin writes, quote, "One concludes that Theon must have spent much of his existence under false names or false identity papers, and that he did not hesitate to give wrong information to the authorities." Close quote. Theon Bimstein was initiated at age 18 into Hasidic Judaism before he left Poland. He also gained initiation into Kabbalah. The wealthy Jacob Frank, originally Jacob Leibowitz, stressed that the Zohar, the Book of Radiance or Splendor, the most important text of the Kabbalah in Judaism, While the Talmud codified the bureaucratic side of Judaism, the Kabbalah conveyed the mysticism of black magic. The Zohar taught of a sexual split within God, the integration of which required intercourse and Judaic conquest. Frank emphasized the sexual teaching, although he certainly did not originate it, as maintained by current rabbinical disinformation. A few Orthodox rabbis have made a pretext of opposing the Kabbalah, and Kabbalah opposition has been ascribed to Rabbi Moses Maimonides, but according to Michael Hoffman, this is a hoax intended for Gentile consumption. Quote, "The alleged opposition or incompatibility between Kabbalistic Judaism and, for example, the halakhic Judaism of Maimonides is a fallacy. Maimonides was revered by many of the seminal Kabbalists of all time, including Rabbi Chaim David Azulai, Rabbi Gershon Hinoch of Radzin, Rabbi Yitzhak, and the preeminent Kabbalist Rav Abraham Abulafia, a formative influence on Moses Cordovero and Chaim Vital. Abulafia esteemed Maimonides' famous book, The Guide of the Perplexed, as a Kabbalistic text." Close quote. The Kabbalah is considered advanced Judaism for the few, as Rabbi Adin Steinschaltz writes in the Essential Talmud, page 212. Quote, "There was a whole world of mysticism and mystery that was concealed from the general public and transmitted only to a chosen few. These esoteric subjects were therefore taught by the rabbi to only one chosen disciple, and in some cases the teacher confined himself to the outlines of the subject without going into detail. The stringent restrictions on esoteric interpretation were relaxed gradually during the Middle Ages. By the beginning of the modern era, the Kabbalah was an important and even central element in Jewish thought. Much of what we can surmise of the esoteric world of the Talmudic sages is based on this literature and the light it casts on the hints contained in the Talmud." Close quote. The occult is extolled in the Kabbalah as a necessary descent to complete one's transformation, according to the rabbinic lies told about the patriarch Abraham. He made his descent, according to the Zohar, and had to know all those levels that are connected below, which Daniel Matt calls the dark underside of wisdom, and which Matt candidly links not to the wisdom of the God of Israel, but to the gnosis of the magicians of pagan Egypt. This wisdom of Egypt includes magic and alchemy. Abraham's descent symbolizes his exploration of Shitra Abra, the other side, the abyss. This dangerous psychic journey is the crucible of Abraham's spiritual transformation. This psychic journey is called by Kenneth Grant the night side of Eden, the negative side of the Lurianic tree of life, and it requires of the initiate the full embrace of the demonic. The essential teachings of the Kabbalah were summarized by the late Professor Israel Shahak of Hebrew University, Jerusalem. From the first cause, first a male god called Wisdom, or Father, and then a female goddess called Knowledge, or Mother, were emanated or born. From the marriage of these two, a pair of younger gods were born. Sun, also called by many other names such as Small Face or the Holy Blessed One, and Daughter, also called Lady or Matronate, a word derived from Latin, Shekinah, Queen, and so on. These two younger gods should be united, but their union is prevented by the machinations of Satan, who in this system is a very important and independent personage. The creation of the Jewish people was undertaken in order to mend the break caused by Adam and Eve, and under Mount Sinai this was for a moment achieved. The male god Sun, incarnated in Moses, was united with the goddess Shekinah. the Jewish conquest of Palestine from the Canaanites and the building of the first and second temple are particularly propitious for their union. The duty of pious Jews is to restore, through their prayers and religious acts, the perfect divine unity in the form of sexual union between the male and female deities. Thus, before most ritual acts, which every devout Jew has to perform many times each day, the following Kabbalistic formula is recited. For the sake of the sexual congress of the Holy Blessed One and his Shekinah. The Jewish morning prayers are also arranged so as to promote this sexual union, if only temporarily. Successive parts of the prayer mystically correspond to successive stages of the union. At one point, the goddess approaches with her handmaidens. At another, the god puts his arm around her neck and fondles her breast, and finally, the sexual act is supposed to take place. From the preceding passage, one can see that the Frankist sexual teaching is not spurious red Kabbalah, but rather a legitimate part of the series of occult integration, which the Zohar teaches will lead to both a completed deity and a completed Jewish male, which are ultimately one and the same thing. Louis Bimstein, Max Theon, took this secret and disseminated it, omitting certain other facets of the Kabbalah, such as the teaching that Gentiles are the limbs of Satan. In Rabbi Aidan Steinschultz's study of the Tanya of Shneur Zalman, the founder of the Chabad Lubavitch branch of Hasidic Judaism, we read that the second soul of the Jew is a part of God above, literally, while the souls of the nations of the world, however, derive from the other impure kelipot, the demonic shells, which contain no good whatsoever, as it is written in Etz Sheyem, Portal 49, Chapter 3. The old Hermetic Brotherhood of Light worked as a means of acculturating the masses, giving them a few tidbits of the Kabbalah while withholding the real secrets, similar to the Kabbalah Center of Rabbi Yehuda Berg, one of the mentors of Madonna and Britney Spears. By this means, occultists and New Agers could believe they had reached the advanced secrets of the Kabbalah, while in reality, Bimstein and others withheld the key teachings, including the doctrine of the non-humanity of Gentiles. From this double-minded double cross rose the supposedly final Masonic revelations, which were systematized by Royce. Kellner fell terminally ill in 1904, and Royce, excited by the Kabbalistic secrets, began recruiting members of Scottish Rite and Memphis Mizraim Freemasonry, which are also sexual in their advanced degrees, for a new emerging order. Kellner died the following year. By 1906, the order had crystallized into the Ordo Templi Orientis. Soon, Royce's Masonic publication, the Oriflamme, announced the OTO. Eventually, Royce claimed that all of the secret knowledge of high-degree Freemasonry had been distilled by the OTO into a system of 11 degrees. The first 3 degrees were essentially similar to any Blue Lodge. The fourth through the sixth degrees captured the most important and powerful points of initiation in nearly all high-degree systems, the Royal Arch, Rosy Cross, and Kadosh rituals. The seventh degree furnished theory for the eighth and ninth degrees, which consist of sex magic. The eighth involves magical masturbation, and the ninth, coitus, the sanctuary of the Gnosis. The tenth degree conferred administration over a country, supreme and holy king, while the 11th contained a homosexual version of the 9th.
You're tuned in to Radio Stormer on thedailystormer.com.
In spite of his trappings mentioning Gnostic Christianity, Royce's instructions were based on the Kabbalah of the rabbis, which in fact preceded and inspired the earlier Gnostic heresies. The antiquity of the Kabbalah has been confirmed by Professor Moshe Edel of Hebrew University in his book Kabbalah, New Perspectives. The Jewish Encyclopedia states concerning Gnosticism, quote, "Jewish Gnosticism unquestionably antedates Christianity. Magic also was a not unimportant part of the doctrines and manifestations of Gnosticism, which largely occupied Jewish thinkers. It is a noteworthy fact that heads of Gnostic schools and founders of Gnostic systems are designated as Jews by the Church Fathers. Some derive all heresies, including those of Gnosticism, from Judaism." Rabbi Bimstein's son was a hidden source of the quote-unquote Germanic OTO forerunner, which was supposedly derived from Sufi initiations. The real roots are clear, as reflected in this typical line from Royce's instructions. Quote, "If the youth is mature, then he will complete the first coitus under the direction and instruction of the Matrona, the High Priestess, in a ritual manner and in the form of a sacramental act. Just the same will be the virgin who is introduced." Close quote. This is the language of the Zohar. It became the basis for Aleister Crowley's enthusiastic Nightside of Eden practice of corrupting men, women and boys with his sacramental act. Royce advocated forced labour and genetic selection so that only perfect parents would produce children. Royce dreamed of the OTO becoming the official state religion. These early facts about the OTO run counter to the libertarian mythology retailed to both inquiring outsiders and even most members today. The OTO is a successor to Freemasonry, but it remains subordinate to Judaism, as all Masons are also subordinate, in keeping with the words of the Royal Arch Degree, for the good of Masonry generally, but the Jewish nation in particular. The system, from its conception, was ideologically related to totalitarian control systems, reflecting Kabbalistic schemes for the tikkun, or reintegration of Adam Kadmon, the divine male, through the capture of Palestine and the establishment of world rule according to the principles of the Zohar. Friedrich Nietzsche observed that the Jews are the most remarkable people in the history of the world, for when they were confronted with the question, to be or not to be, they chose with perfectly unearthly deliberation to be at any price. This price involved a radical falsification of all nature, of all naturalness, of all reality, of the whole inner world, as well as of the outer. One by one they distorted religion, civilization, morality, history, and psychology until each became a contradiction of its natural significance. This tendency Christ sought to overturn, but it survived as a mentality, a religion of the double mind, gradually becoming named as Judaism. It gathered European converts from the 8th century kingdom of Caesarea, forming the basis of the impostor Jews spoken of in Revelation chapter 2 verse 9, the Khazars who say they are Jews and are not. This racial masquerade complements a Jewish mentality of duplicity and falsification, which was then carried into Christendom, sowing the seeds which would gradually produce the contradictions which are at the heart of the OTO and modern culture. A key operative at work in the establishment of the OTO was the Jewish refugee and B'nai B'rith activist Dr. Felix Lazarus Pincus, a major player in the Zionist movement as president of the Zurich Union of Zionists. In 1918, he published On the Founding of a Jewish State. subsequently becoming an economic expert for the Soviet Union's trade delegation in Switzerland. Pincus was also active in the B'nai B'rith Lodge. The exclusively Jewish B'nai B'rith was founded in 1843 by Jewish members of the Masons and other secret societies, such as Isaac Roenberg, William Renau, and Reuben Rodasher. As B'nai B'rith leader Edward Grust writes, there is a legend which is occasionally mentioned to this day, that B'nai B'rith was founded because in 1843 Jews were barred from membership in the Masonic orders and the Odd Fellows. Obviously, that was not the case, since several of the order's founders were themselves members of those organizations. We have fragments of memoirs written by Rosenberg and Renau, as well as by others who joined B'nai B'rith soon after it was founded, which leave us in no doubt about this. Pincus was the spiritual father of Hermann Joseph Metzger, Frater Peregrinus, 1919-1990, himself a later head of the OTO in Switzerland. Pincus initiated Metzger in the degrees of the OTO up to number 9, the peak of ordinary initiation. Metzger was also initiated into the secrets of master hypnotist and magnetist Anton Mesmer by Pincus. Metzger became known as a conjurer under the alias Peter Mano, a pun on the renowned stage hypnotist Hermano. Metzger went on to lead the Swiss branch of the OTO and the Order of the Illuminati, or Ordo Illuminatarum, the OI, fulfilling Royce's dream of Illuminati revival to some extent. With Metzger's prominence, what status must be assigned to Pincus, his spiritual father? Evidently a great deal, although most histories of the OTO today ignore him completely, preferring to speak of alleged Sufi influences, which have never yet been documented. Another fascinating and secretive figure on the OTO landscape is Oscar R. Schlag, 1907-1991, an associate of the pioneering psychologist, Dr. Carl Gustav Jung. While not a member himself, Schlag nonetheless moved within several upper echelon OTO circles, visiting Jane Wolfe in 1955 at the California Lodge, led by Jet Propulsion Laboratory rocket scientist Jack Parsons. Schlag was an intimate associate of top OTO men, such as Carl Germer, and belonged to the Abramelin Group, which also contained Pincus. Marcelus Motta, leader of the OTO in Brazil, learned through his own contacts in Brazilian intelligence that Schlag was in the employ of the psychological warfare section of the Israeli Shin Bet, as well as the CIA. Motta became alarmed when the OTO allegedly staged a courtroom coup and ousted Motta from legal standing in the OTO in the eyes of the United States. Motta was convinced the CIA was controlling the OTO from behind the scenes through Schlag. Friedrich Lewke, 1904-1956, was yet another personification of the Jewish OTO intersection. An initiate of the Ninth Degree and friend of Aleister Crowley, Lewke merged Thelema and Hasidic Judaism and became a friend of Hasidic propagandist Martin Buber, who conveniently omitted from his numerous books in praise of Hasidic sages any mention of the central belief of Hasidic Judaism. As noted in reference to Zalman's Tanya, that the vast majority of Gentiles are purely evil, subhuman creatures. Subsidized by the California Agape Lodge of the OTO, Lewke became known as Rabbi Seir.
You're listening to Radio Stormer on thedailystormer.com.
As early in its history as 1917, the year of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, the OTO was announcing itself as the new master rite of occult and Masonic initiation. In the manifesto, the OTO proclaimed itself to be a body of initiates in whose hands are concentrated the wisdom and the knowledge of the following bodies: the Gnostic Catholic Church, the Order of the Knights of the Holy Ghost, the Order of the Illuminati, the Order of the Temple, the Knights Templar, the Order of the Knights of St. John, the Order of the Knights of Malta, the Order of the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, the Hidden Church of the Holy Grail, the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light, the Holy Order of Rosy Cross of Herodom, the Order of the Holy Royal Arch of Enoch, the Ancient and Primitive Rite of Masonry, 33 degrees, the Rite of Memphis, 97 degrees, the Rite of Mizraim, 90 degrees, the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Masonry, 33 degrees, the Swedenborgian Rite of Masonry, the Order of the Martinists, and the Order of the Sat Bai. The dispersion of the original secret wisdom having led to confusion, it was determined by the chiefs of all these orders to recombine and centralize their activities. Its chiefs are initiates of the highest rank and recognized as such by all capable of such recognition in every country in the world. The order is international and has existing branches in every civilized country of the world. The OTO is an Academia Masonica. Whether or not every claim in the preceding manifesto was literally true, the announcement was clear for those with eyes to see. A thoroughly Judaic OTO had stepped forth as the new master rite of the cryptocracy. To a youthful Aleister Crowley, this claim became irresistible, and it is irresistible to many today who seek arcana in dark rooms amid sexual indulgence and statues of Baphomet, unaware of any governing shadows emanating from the CIA, the Shin Bet, or the B'nai B'rith. Not only did the OTO have important roots and ties to Zionist and governmental overlords, the Golden Dawn left similar hoof prints. As Golden Dawn scholar Gareth J. Medway writes, the Golden Dawn initiatory system is rather like a Jewish adaptation of the Scottish Rite, which is sometimes called Rosy Cross Masonry, because the 18th degree, the most important, is Rosicrucian. In the Zealoter grade, the neophyte is taken to the holy place, which contains representations of a seven-pointed star representing the seven-branched candlestick, circles equivalent to the tribes of Israel, and the altar of incense. All this is certainly based in the 23rd degree of the Scottish Rite, called Chief of the Tabernacle, which is set in the Tabernacle of Moses in the desert, as described in the Book of Exodus. Medway entertains circumstantial evidence that the Golden Dawn was linked to the Judaic Masonic Lodge in Frankfurt, Germany, known as Le Roi Nason, or Loge Aufgehenden Morgensrot, founded in 1808. This lodge negotiated with Karl von Hessen, Landgrave of Schleswig, for patronage. In return, he insisted that they institute the higher Scottish Rite degrees, but some tension occurred over the Gnostic pseudo-Christian content of some of these Scottish Rite degrees, blasphemous as these references and aspects would be to Orthodox Christians. They were still too much for the Judaics, who considered instituting instead a parallel structure with more overtly Judaic references. Medway sees in the Golden Dawn just such a Christ-shorn, Jewish-oriented parallel structure, and hence considers initial Golden Dawn ties to the Jewish lodge in Frankfurt to be likely. In any case, the Judaic Masonic Lodge was approved by the Grand Lodge of England, and so received the tolerant British imprimatur of the power behind church and state in that land. The Rosicrucian Masonic cyclopedist, Kenneth H. McKenzie, wrote in his 1877 Royal Masonic Cyclopedia of a secret Kabbalah college in London under the direction of one Johann Friedrich Falk, whom Mackenzie claimed was the son of the Baal Shem of London, Dr. Haim Samuel Jacob Falk, a.k.a. Cain Canul Falk, a Kabbalist known for his necromantic pursuit of the spirits of the dead. Dr. Falk not only carried weight with the Jewish establishment in London, he was also internationally influential with Jewish and Gentile Freemasons and was described by the Abbé Fournier as the chief of all the Jews. His cult following extended to the nobility, including Prince Czartoryski of Poland and the Duke of Orleans, who consulted Falk on his chances of becoming King of France. Falk's prestige was an indication of the status of Jewish Kabbalists among the London Freemasons, who, while claiming to be a Christians-only organisation, secretly welcomed Jews as members, including Rabbi Baruch ben Jacob of Shklov, a leading figure in the liberal Jewish Enlightenment. In such an overtly Judaic milieu, it is natural that Dr. Falk's above-mentioned son, Johann Falk, would possess the prestige to mentor, through his Kabbalistic college, the heads of the Golden Dawn. Indeed, this college was explicitly claimed as the source of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn by Golden Dawn founder William W. Westcott, who wrote of it as the Order of Mystics, which gave Eliphas Levi his occult knowledge. Although Crowley outgrew the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, he used its material to form his own Kabbalistic Rosicrucian school, the Order of the Silver Star, the Argentium Astrum, or AA. Crowley's modifications were to change the initiation from a group basis to individual training and to give far greater prominence to tantric disciplines, as Crowley had experienced them in India. The AA still exists today as the second order of the cult of the beast and purports to take its adherents to deeper levels of initiation. That is, it creates megalomaniacs who carry on the inner Masonic traditions of the Kabbalah as derived from Judaism and its petri dish of occultism, which it has successfully preserved for millennia. The late Rabbi Arya Kaplan explains the occult practices of the Kabbalah in the introduction to his translation of the oldest Kabbalah scripture, the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation. Quote, "The third category of Kabbalah, the magical, consists of various signs, incantations, and divine names through which one can influence or alter natural events. The most important texts have never been printed, although some fragments have been published. One of the best examples of these is the book Raziel." Close quote. The book referred to by Kaplan is the Sefer Raziel, Hemlach, the Book of the Angel Raziel, which is a secret rabbinic grimoire, a prototype of the Enochian calls of John Dee. The Sefer Raziel contains the Sefer Hamazaloth, the Book of the Signs of the Zodiac, as well as prescriptions for making amulets and talismans, still popular in the Israeli state due to the official status of Orthodox Judaism as the state religion. A typical passage of this heavily suppressed rabbinical text is the following. Quote, "When pigs or goats have sexual intercourse, the males with the females are able to produce, cease the sexual intercourse to make strong. Also, when desired to make use of, or when dirty by places of the sea or mud and clay, desire to be very dirty. Also, desire pleasures and seek pleasures from below the earth until the ends of the opening edges." Close quote. The official cover story emanating from the Grand Lodge of England is that the OTO and the AA are not regular masonry. The Blue Lodge Masons, who have imbibed such drivel, should read, besides the works of their own leaders, John J. Robinson's book, Born in Blood, Chapter 7, and wake up to the fact that the Kabbalistic tradition, as practiced by the Templars and carried down to the lodges, is at the very heart of the Masonic system, and always has been. It logically follows that one's depth of initiation and understanding of arcana in Freemasonry is measured by immersion in the Kabbalah. To initiates, proof that the beast cult has spread by the OTO became the elite master rite is the fact that no occult war is known to have occurred after the OTO claimed such a privilege. Such wars typically would have broken out, replete with occult masons sicking devils on each other through Kabbalistic conjurations. But nothing like that has transpired. Intertwined with Judaism and US and Israeli intelligence, the OTO burrowed into its role and grew throughout the West, essentially unchallenged. While other powerful cognate occult groups, such as the Skull and Bones, certainly exert enormous power, none has the indisputable position in the world today which belongs to the OTO as the Judaically anointed leader of the modern beast cult of the Kabbalah, and thereby of blood, control, deception, and death.